Psalms 46. There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy habitation of the Most High. God is in the midst of the city. It shall not be moved. God will help it when the morning dawns. Here ends of the reading. And may the Lord bless his words.
Will you pray with me? God, you are our refuge and our strength. You are a very present help in times of trouble. And we are thankful. In Christ's name, amen. So that Psalm 46 started out with the verses that we shared together as our call to worship. God is our refuge and our strength, the very present help in times of trouble. And it was that Psalm 46 that inspired Martin Luther to write the hymn that we sang, "A Mighty Fortress is Our God, a Bulwark Never Failing." Because the psalm is all about the concepts of human relationships with God and with the natural world. And it speaks assurance any time that we have human anxieties. It proclaims that God is present with God's people, no matter what the situation. It was my Uncle Mike's favorite scripture because he said, no matter what happens in each of our lives, no matter how sick we get, no matter how grief-stricken we are, no matter how much pain we're going through, no matter how unsure our life is, no matter how mean other people are to us or we are to other people, God is our refuge, and there is a river whose streams make glad the city of God. So maybe that river, Jerry Wolf, is the one in Machu Picchu. Maybe it's that mystical and sacred city of the Incas where Jerry visited recently, because it's said to be touched by the gods at 8,000 feet, and that raging river is a good 2,000 feet beneath it, but somehow through all these catchment systems, they have managed to have the river so that it's flowing through that city. And truly, the Incas felt this was the place where the holy God could live. Whatever those chaotic conditions that the psalm describes, the city of God, it says, remains unshakable. It remains a refuge, and we have no need to fear. Well, in times such as these, particularly these recent times, it would seem that this passage really isn't true. The past 18 months have shown us a deep division in the nation, within communities, within our own families. And regardless of for whom you voted, this season has emboldened hate. This was not the intent. It was the impact of the season. And so we ask ourselves, where is that river that makes glad the heart of God? Last week was Veterans Day, and in one of the churches, a pastor said, you know, my father never ever spoke about the war. It was so painful. He kept it all locked up inside him. And of course, I've heard all those stories, the same stories. And she said to her congregation, we're not going to do that, are we? We can't do that, can we? We love each other. We have to talk about our pain on both sides and all around. Today is Christ the King Sunday, and it's the culmination of our Christian year because Advent starts the beginning of another year. And this is the day that we witness to the crucified and the risen Christ. It's a sacrament that proclaims that every human being is a child of God. And today's the day that we resist being silent based on fear. If we can't do it here in our community, where can it happen? If we can't proclaim Psalm 46, where is our hope? When I look for those strings, I look at all the communities of faith that I know and admire, and I look first at the United Methodist community, Arapahoe United Methodist Church. I listened to her sermon twice on MP3 this week, and she told the story of the Good Samaritan, and she said that we all tend to categorize people. And that we categorize some of them as mean and some of them as nice. And so when the people we've categorized as mean do something nice, it messes with our categories. And so to illustrate the truth of the Good Samaritan, which she was preaching on, she said, okay, here's the situation. Hillary is in the ditch, and the first two people that pass her by have "I'm with her" buttons on them. And the guy that stops and helps her has a red trucker hat and a gun. And he stays with her throughout until he's sure that she has been helped and healed. And if that makes you uncomfortable, let's say Trump is in the ditch. And the first two people that pass him by are Trump supporters. And the one to stop and help him is an illegal immigrant who stays with him and bandages him until he is healed. And if that makes you uncomfortable, well, we're just messing with our categories. So she urged the congregation to get to work. She said, saving our country needs us to show what it means to live without categories and live the only category as a child of God. That's the only category where we can be walk along side by side with those who are different from us. People of compassion choose to connect with others who are different inside their own community, inside their own family, inside their own country, even outside their own country. That's what people of compassion do. And it's a privilege, not a burden, because it frees us from focusing on ourselves. That's what that pastor at Arapahoe United Methodist Church said. And then over at Fourth Presbyterian, another woman, Dr. Shannon Kersher, quoted Alice Walker, and she said, are we going to turn on each other or toward one another? And so she shared some personal experiences, and I want to do the same with this precursor. I want to tell you that these are not stories I saw or found on Facebook. I did not find them or read them in the news sources that I normally might frequent. I did not hear them on the radio. These are my personal stories. We believe in an incarnational God, right? A God with flesh. So these are true stories that happened, that I witnessed. And so one of those, and by the way, none of these people in there should be categorized, because believe me, the people I'm talking about, I know, are all in different categories. And so the first thing that happened was the little second grader in Rick's in my hometown who ran to my niece who teaches there and threw her arms around her and said, they're going to take me away. I'm not going to be able to go to school here anymore. And the second one came from the alma mater of Al Childress and many people in my family and probably some of you out there, Austin College. It was written to the Board of Trustees. My cousin is on. And the president said, I just have to inform you what has happened in the last few days. We had a predominantly black charter school visiting our campus, and one of our white students began to call out abusive language to this school. And shortly after that, we had a group of boys who approached a group of girls and began to talk horribly to them, abusively. And I am hoping that these are isolated incidents. But I will tell you that here on our small liberal arts campus, we have several groups who are afraid. And those are women and Muslims and LGBTQ and blacks and Latinos. And so I ask you to be stay tuned for this, and I will keep you updated. And then the third thing that happened to me personally is that when I was tutoring over at Zaragoza last week, I looked up and another adult tutor from another church was running down the hall to me with her arms open, and she said, I need a hug. Our trans child just called from Massachusetts in college and said, sorry, Mom, I just can't come home to Texas for Thanksgiving. I'm just too frightened. So these stories are real. And so as people of faith, what is our response? Well, one of our young families here has been working on a project steadfastly. They have been putting together a citizen-led discussion on polarization, and their aim is to invite people of different ideologies and walks of life to spend 2 hours together at a venue that they're going to pay for in a facilitated conversation to help bridge divides. They're inviting churches and mosques and student groups. They're going to spend 10 to 15 minutes discussing polarization and making the case for reining that polarization in, and then asking, what can we do to help mend damaged lines of communication? And then they're going to break into smaller groups and get to know one another and one another's strengths and the challenges that face our community and our nation. This is happening. This is something for which to give thanks. The curriculum is already being written. There is a river. I want to encourage us to reach across denominational lines and faith lines to make sure that our only category, as that pastor said, is that we are all children of God. And perhaps that means opening conversations with our Jewish neighbors at Congregation Beth Torah. It's a conservative synagogue that ironically welcomes LGBTQ and has a female rabbi. Perhaps it means working for peace, doing ministry with our Muslim neighbors. How many of you, like I have seen, Hadi Jawad, a Muslim peace activist, worshiping right here with us twice in the past 6 weeks? This past week, I posted a letter from our bishop on Facebook, and many of you responded. In it, he addressed bullying, intimidation, racism. And at the same time, he was doing that, and you all were commenting favorably, most of you. I thought about this CD that Ben King and Bill Claxton and Burundis and so many made possible. And I've heard those stories with flesh on them, because our Burundis and our people of color have experienced the racism our bishop was talking about in his letter. And I thought, what are they doing? They're making a CD so they can give it to us as a congregation and a way to say thanks. We're on this journey together. As Christians, we have to affirm the God-given worth of all human beings, and we have to speak to it, and we have to act on it. And we have to be willing to take bold prophetic stands. If the least and the most vulnerable in our communities are abused or marginalized, we have to be willing to take a stand to prove that there is a river that makes glad the city of God. Well, this past week, I hope all of us rejoiced together. I know many of you did because you sent me copies, just everything was lighting up. When Wilshire Baptist opened their doors to LGBTQ across the board, I mean everything, leadership, marriage, the whole thing, and I went, I never thought the Baptists would beat us to it, ever. But good for them. Good for them. So what can we do? Well, let me go back to the pastor at Arapahoe, whom I admire. She said that the courage to see one another as a child of God is as easy as taking someone to lunch who's different from you. I don't think she meant just because they're a vegan or a vegetarian either. I think she meant someone that's different from you, and getting to know them and being willing to feel someone else's pain as your own pain. So I'm going to challenge each one of us to invite someone different out of our comfort zone in this community to lunch or to coffee. Someone who's afraid or someone who's in pain, and that's on both sides. And then listen to that person. Turn toward that person and listen. The city of God is the people of God, and we are the people of God, and God is in our midst. That is something for which to be thankful. There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God. Thanks be to God. Amen.